to the sermon, I'd like to share in brief format our prayer requests and an update, a presentation on what we've been up to the last 3 years. So if you would play that, and then we'll get to 3 John.
Into the hands of church members and leaders to build healthy churches. Usually several times a week, we welcome friends into our home, whether formally counseling them or simply encouraging them in the faith. We're caring for one another, stirring each other up to love and good works, building up one another in the faith. God has been so good to grant us a home where all of this can take place. The greatest needs right now in Kenya are qualified leaders and biblical discernment. As members and representatives of Intercity Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Mission, we are engaged in meeting that need through equipping our local body and training Kenyans for church ministry. We are grateful for this opportunity to partner with you and ask that you would pray for us in the following five ways. First, grasping the cultural backdrop of everyday decisions is essential to serving effectively here. Please pray with us for discernment as we seek to help others see life from God's perspective. Please pray with us for security and health for continued service. Nairobi is a relatively secure place to live, but we ultimately rely on the true captain of our faith to keep us safe as long as his assignment for us lasts. Pray for continued stability here in the States and in Kenya so that we can continue to leverage this incredible partnership opportunity for the sake of the gospel and the name. Pray for students who will see the challenge of the Great Commission and own it for themselves. We would love to see some of them giving their lives to reach the unreached of this country and beyond. Pray for strong churches who can resist the call of false doctrine and become a stable platform for launching laborers into God's worldwide harvest fields. This opportunity to partner with you has been a conduit of God's grace to us. You have been instruments in His hands, along with us, in training Kenyans to reach Kenyans and the world for the sake of the name.
If you have any questions, I'd be delighted to discuss more with you after the service. I'm going to start by reading the book of 3 John. It's short. Not a very long letter at all, but it will give us an overview of this commission that has been assigned to us. And what I want you to notice as we're reading this letter, what I want you to notice is the tone of affection and appreciation between John and his dear friend Gaius. And the reason that I want to draw attention to this affection and appreciation that John has for Gaius is that we feel a great deal of affection and appreciation for you. I remember times when, for instance, the Friedmans have communicated with us for one of the boys' birthdays or sent us a little note of encouragement. We stayed for a significant amount of time while we were in the area raising support at Virginia Cathcart's home. And in fact, our youngest boy walked his first steps in that basement. So we have been the recipients of your hospitality, and it's with that kind of appreciation that I come up here this morning to speak to you from this letter. So notice the appreciation and affection as we read from verse 1. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly, brethren, when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating or talking nonsense against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I believe that this letter from the Apostle John to Gaius gives us three ways to spread the fame of the name. Spreading the fame of the name. As you're watching the video, I'm sure you may have noticed that we don't live in a mud hut or a remote village. We are very much in an urban environment, and one of the things that might surprise you if you were to come and visit us, by the way, you're very welcome to come and visit. If you were to come and visit us, you might be surprised at how much Western influence there is in Kenya, especially the city of Nairobi. Many of my students spend much of their days on their smartphones, and those become conduits of all sorts of things from the West. Of course, media is very readily available. Copyright laws are not always seen as the most important thing in the world, so DVDs and CDs are spread around. One of the things that we've seen recently make its showing in Nairobi is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and has definitely caught the imagination of many of my friends there. And you can imagine, if you know anything about Marvel Comics, why Black Panther would be a very appealing character. Black Panther is a superhero who comes from a hidden African nation that's very technologically advanced and is a hero who's able to blow for blow go along with all of the other superheroes. And Nairobi, for sure, is much more like that super advanced city than the village that you might expect. We all have this longing for heroes. And often, when we read stories about heroes, we're inspired ourselves to take great risks, to make great sacrifices, to get off of our couches and do something. But the problem with superhero culture is that when we're watching superheroes do their super thing, we may be tempted to look and see, I could never do something like that. I could never be what they are. I could never do what they do. And rather than being inspired to give our all for a worthwhile cause, we're just inspired to stay on the couch and watch the next episode. I fear that we as Christians look at the book of Acts and the early church in a very similar way. That as we're seeing this unshakable church gaining victory after victory, we were tempted to think that these guys are superheroes. I could never be like that. I could never be bold like that. I could never overcome for the sake of the progress of the gospel like they always seem to. One of the great things about actually getting to know a real hero is that you begin to realize that they're human. And the book of 3 John gives us such a glimpse into the early church that we see that the spread of the fame of the name was accomplished not by superheroes, but by regular people like Gaius and Demetrius. And thus we can also recognize that our hope is not in our own abilities, but in Christ who promised, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The unshakable church of the book of Acts is the unshakable church because their hope was in an unstoppable God. He's the hero. And we see here in this short letter a glimpse of ordinary people spreading the fame of the name. Very briefly here, verses 1 through 4 teach us that we can spread the fame of the name by prioritizing perseverance. We prioritize perseverance. Verses 5 through 8, which is really the heart of the letter, teach us to spread the fame of the name by pursuing partnership. And then verse 9 through the end of the letter teaches us to spread the fame of the name by putting pride to death. Let's dive in. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. As we continue on in this letter, we're going to find some of the reasons that Gaius was so well-loved, so appreciated by John. But one of the reasons is actually in the backstory of the letter. At some point, brethren came from Gaius, verse 3 says, to John, testifying that Gaius remained in the truth or walked in the truth. And this gives us a little window into one of the main reasons that Gaius is so appreciated, so beloved by the Apostle John. Turn with me very briefly to 2 John, just one page over in my Bible at least, verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. Here's why it was so significant that Gaius continued to walk in the truth. Because, verse 7 says, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Most biblical scholars agree that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John all have the same historical context. They all come from the same story. So these letters are written, as all New Testament letters are, they're written in the middle of a story. And part of that story was that there was this great doctrinal defection. 1 John chapter 2 says, they went out from us because they did not truly belong to us. 2 John verse 7 teaches us why they went out. They went out because they had this bizarre doctrine, this strange Christology. They denied that Jesus came in the flesh. They denied that Jesus was truly human. And Gaius knew that if Jesus Christ is not fully human, it's of zero significance that he lived a perfectly sinless life. If he's not fully human, what could it matter that he died a sacrificial death? He could not stand in my place if he was not fully human. What hope, as we've been talking about already in this service, what hope could the resurrection bring us if Jesus Christ is not fully human? How could I, as a human being, have hope for life after death if Jesus, who's supposed to be my Lord, my Savior, did not himself as a human rise again from the dead. Gaius, realizing the essentialness of the doctrine that we celebrate at Christmas, the incarnation, realizing how critical this doctrine was, he held fast. He continued to walk in the truth. One translation says, the brethren came and testified of your fidelity to the truth. Your truth, Gaius, you have held fast to sound doctrine. And that is why I would say that this letter teaches us that we must spread the fame of the name by prioritizing perseverance. Because if we fail to walk in the truth, and you notice how that's both your head and your hands, right? You're walking in the truth. You're living by sound doctrine. If we fail to live by sound doctrine, if we don't maintain the true gospel, if we fail to live out the true gospel, then we cannot export what we are not producing. So the first step to spreading the fame of the name is prioritizing perseverance. That's why John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. In Kenya, we have a plague called the prosperity gospel that characterizes a lot of the preaching that you might hear on a Sunday. Verse 2 here is used, misused, abused. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And it's true. We should be grateful when a hurricane doesn't hit our home, as Mrs. Friedman says. God cares about his children. He created the world. He cares about our physical life. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He cares about the physical world. It's true, we should also be grieved when we hear about somebody else's home who was destroyed by a hurricane. God cares about this physical world. But what's the greatest priority here? I have no greater joy, verse 4 says, than to hear that my children walk in the truth. He prioritized Gaius's perseverance. It's certainly true that spreading the fame of the name is more than holding fast to sound doctrine. It's more than helping one another as a church follow Jesus. It's more than training your kids and training your grandkids and training your great-grandkids to follow Christ. It's more than that, but it's certainly not less. In order to spread the fame of the name, we must prioritize perseverance. And in addition, and us to pursue partnership. And he sets up two sides to this mission, both of which he equates with worship. First, he talks about hospitality. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren. They have borne witness of your love before the church. Send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. You notice John's logic there. As John is thinking about how Gaius has given up personal space, me time, maybe extended his grocery budget to host Christian workers, that he is in so doing displaying the worth of God. John is teaching us here that hospitality is worship. I was just listening to the announcements. I happened to hear about Bible conference hosting that you guys are doing. This is an opportunity for you to engage in in a investment in the progress of the gospel in the hearts and minds of pastors and their churches and their communities. You have an opportunity here to spread the fame of the name by giving up a few hours of work. This is no small thing. This is not mere elbow grease. This is worship. And the other side of the equation is in verse 7. These whom Gaius hosted are proclaimers. They went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. In order to offer the gospel free of charge in a new land, they were supported by churches in the area that they came out of. This is a model that we see in the book of Philippians from the Apostle Paul. The Philippians supported, even from the first day of the gospel, Paul says, they supported Paul in his ministry across other lands. They went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. And you see here, and it says, for his name's sake, we get this idea of worship as well. Because his name is not merely Jesus. His name is his character. You remember when Moses heard the name of the Lord in Exodus 34. The Lord, compassionate and merciful, quick to relent concerning disaster, but he will not let the guilty go unpunished. That's his character. His reputation is also at stake when we talk about the name. The biblical authors, as they're looking back on events like the Exodus and the conquest, they use a phrase, you made a name for yourself, talking to the Lord. In the Exodus, God's reputation was at stake. In the conquest, God's reputation is at stake. And in the gospel, God's reputation is at stake. So proclamation, no less than hospitality, but no more than hospitality, is worship. And because hospitality is worship and proclamation is worship, verse 8, cooperation is worship. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Jesus taught his disciples that those who help out a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Those who help out a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. There's a parity, not a disparity, between those who help gospel workers do their job and the gospel workers themselves. They're in fact involved in the same work, in the same mission. They are fellow workers for the truth, fellow worshipers of the name. This is an opportunity that we have to join together. It's not to be left up to the superheroes, but folks like us, regular old folks, folks like Gaius, can spread the fame of the name as we take God's Spirit's gifts on one side, God's Spirit's gifts on the other side, and join together to cooperate, showing that no one piece of the puzzle is sufficient, but God is sufficient. This is precisely the lesson that Diotrephes missed. Verse 9. It shows us the third way to spread the fame of the name. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Diotrephes, rather than depending one on another for the sake of the progress of the mission, Diotrephes stands not merely for independence, but preeminence. He wants to be seen as first. Can you imagine this guy? He must be quite a speaker. Somehow by this talking nonsense, as it says in verse 10, against us with malicious words. Somehow he's convinced a congregation to turn against John the Apostle. That takes a lot of speaking skill. It takes a lot of arrogance. We really see ourselves sometimes when we're looking into the scriptures like this. Because this is the same kind of thing that causes strife in our families. Strife on the mission field. There's a statistic that I've heard that what sends missionaries home most often is interpersonal conflict on the missionary team. It's a team of missionaries on the field, and they can't get along. How often is that because of what the proverb says? Where there is strife, there is pride. Somebody wants to be first. Somebody loves to have the preeminence. That's why it's critical to spread the fame of the name. We must put to death pride. And you know this in your own personal witnessing, right? Sometimes when we keep our mouths shut, when we know we should have opened our mouths, it's because we don't want to be that guy. We don't want to be that kind of person who monopolizes a conversation or who bothers somebody on the airplane. I'm actually going to be flying this week, and I'm thinking about this I've got this concrete application here and saying, okay, Lord, I need to be mindful of any opportunities that might come up and practice what I preach. What's going to inhibit that? Is my own concern for my own reputation, even at the expense of this person's eternal destiny. I'm looking out for my reputation. If we are going to be dedicated to spreading the fame of the name, we cannot be so concerned about our own name, our own reputation. Look at Demetrius. Verse 11 gives us a little bit of a hinge. Now, this is two somewhat unfamiliar Greek names, Diotrephes and Demetrius, and it's easy to get them mixed up, but they're very different. And verse 11 kind of gives us a hinge between the two. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So who's doing something that's evil that you shouldn't imitate? Diotrephes. Who's doing something that's good? Demetrius. He's down in verse 12. He who does good, that's Demetrius, is of God, from God, or belonging to God. But he who does evil has not seen God. That's a striking rebuke of Diotrephes. John is not mincing words about this malicious gossip, this speaker. He's not one of the false teachers, yet his life is not reflecting the gospel. But Demetrius's is. We don't know much about Demetrius at all. Almost nothing, really, other than he's a good guy. He has a good testimony. We also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. John knows that he's a good guy. That's basically all we know, that and his name, Demetrius. This is really interesting if you think about it. Not all the time is the name significant. For instance, if you're interpreting the book of Jonah, Jonah means dove or pigeon. It's not really that significant. It's not going to help you understand the book of Jonah. But Demetrius here is somewhat significant because here's what it means. It means belonging to Demeter. Okay, what's that? Demeter is the goddess of grain. So it's pretty safe to say, isn't it? I'm not going too far beyond the text to say that Demetrius probably grew up in a non-Christian home. If his parents named him after the goddess of grain, belonging to the goddess of grain, they were pagans. That was the identity that he grew up with. That was his boast, is that he was favored of Demeter, this goddess of grain. But it's this boast that at some point in Demetrius's life he forsook. To make Christ his boast. To say, as it says in verse 11, who do I belong to? I am of God. I belong to God. He is the one who owns me. Jesus, when he calls us to the gospel, says, take up your cross and follow me. And to become a Christian, Demetrius had to forsake his old boast, forsake his old identity, forsake who he was in his family structure, and embrace a new family, embrace a new father, embrace the true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrifice of our boast, of our identity, is exactly what Diotrephes was missing. At some point in his life, he left it behind. Whether he ever truly knew the Lord, we can't tell from this brief letter. But it's a daily battle for us, isn't it? Is our boast going to be in ourselves, or is our boast going to be in Christ? Are we going to die to ourselves, or are we going to put ourselves first? Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. To spread the fame of the name, we must put pride to death. This is what our God is calling us to. And it doesn't require a superhero. Normal folks, like Gaius and Demetrius, like you and me, can spread the fame of the name. Let's pray that the Lord would help us do so. Heavenly Father, it's such a delight to speak to receptive people as I have this morning. I pray that you would grant, even this afternoon, that you would equip us by your Spirit through your word to spread the fame of the name, to love your reputation more than our own, to hold fast to the true gospel and to hand it out wherever we have opportunity, to think of no job in this mission as too lowly or too high, because you are the hero, because Christ will build his church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Jeremy. You know, when we